The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, guys, and welcome to this episode of Fanatics. Yay! I am your co-host, Claire Kramer, or your host, or your co-host, and my other co-host here is David Magadoff. Hi, David.
We are codependent co-hosts.
Codependent no more. Well, you know, and we are co-conspirators because today you're actually not going to listen to Fanatics. You are getting an episode of The Parent Lounge. Jamie Kaler, yeah, you know him. He came on and talked about his love of good service. Well, Jamie has another podcast, and that is what is going to drop right in this feed in just about a minute or two. Parent Lounge is a podcast which I also appear on as the mom-parent representation with my friend Kate, and Jamie and Jason were a foursome that talk about parenting every Tuesday night. We go live. It's a little bit of a different format than Fanatics. David, we should have you on eventually. You can talk about not having a child, which is just fine as well.
Yeah.
You have freedom. We don't.
Claire, wait, you have kids?
I know it's shocking. It's new information. Yes, I do. Everybody knows I've got a gaggle of children. A gaggle of geese, a gaggle of children, a pod of dolphins, whatever you want to use for that. A school of fish.
Almost a full basketball team starting five. You got a solid almost. Four. But you can be the center.
I can be the center. I can be Shaquille. I can be, you know, that center player, except now my oldest is taller than me, so not anymore. Anyway, we are excited to do this swap. I think you guys will really like Parent Lounge. I guess the most important thing to say is I'm the least funniest person on it because it is comedians and then me. David, another reason why you would fit right into the show.
Jamie is great. You are great. Everyone, enjoy. Take a listen. Bon appetit.
Welcome to a very special edition of The Parents Lounge. For you Fanatics fans, thank you for listening to this cross promotion. I did one of their shows where I talked about my love of service, but this is my main podcast called The Parents Lounge, which I do with Claire Kramer from Fanatics and my other partners, Jason Gowan, who is here with me right now, and
Kate Mulligan,
who will come in a minute. Really quick, Jason, you want to tell people what we do here at the Parents Lounge?
This is basically your parental mental health stop on the week so that you can recharge from all the craziness of raising children. Do your kids occasionally unbolt your toilet seat and crush your nuts? We are here to help you get through things like that.
Yeah. Have they blocked a drain in your house and let the water run, causing $7,500 worth of damage? Then you're in the right location.
Yeah, and that's what we do here every week. We are a stop for you to recharge, have a lot of fun, also grab a drink, enjoy it along with us, and recharge your mind, bring yourself back to your zen space.
With our resident moms, Kate and Claire, we will tell you the horror stories that we've lived through, like the day Jason got locked out of his house by his three-year-olds.
That's like four times that's happened to me now.
Well, that's on you. You should maybe put a key outside the house.
But correct. Yeah. We crawl in the
window. We are live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch,
Twitter,
basically everywhere. Just Google The Parents Lounge, and I'm sure there'll be links here. If you have kids, then you have definitely found the right place. And if you don't have kids, then get ready to sit back and feel great about your life choices. We're going to do our opening title song, which I think the lyrics pretty much explain the horrors of parenting. And then we'll be back with Claire Kramer from Fanatics and our pal Kate Mulligan from the Schmodown to discuss the joys and pain of parenting. All right, you ready?
Ready.
We could have homes on separate cools, go dive in Greece with squids. Could have been so bleeping rich, but instead we had kids. They won't smile for a photo, they won't eat the food we choose. That's why we're heading to the parents' lounge to drown ourselves in booze. Every day we're more exhausted, we haven't slept in years. They hit me in the nuts so bad, my eyes filled up with tears. And yes, we'd like to fake our death and go off of the grids. But the truth is we are softies and we truly love our kids. So join us every Tuesday night to laugh at all our pain. Evening in the parents' lounge is the cure to staying sane.
Welcome to our very special crossover edition of the Parents' Lounge with Fanatics. I'm joined as always by my partner and parents, Jason Gowan, Claire Kramer, and Kate Mulligan. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie Taylor.
It's funny. This is how parenting works. Like this podcast is, we do this every week, and it's even at the top, it said live in studio. None of us are in studio. Kate Mulligan is on vacation on the East Coast. Claire Kramer is in San Diego.
I'm coming in hot. Yep.
With her daughter, who's a phenomenal dancer. And then Jason is trapped away somewhere in Pennsylvania. And this is how we do it virtually every week.
I like that you didn't dox yourself.
Yeah.
What?
I like that you didn't dox yourself, Jamie. Where are you? Give us your address.
How about your social as well?
Overseas. I've faked my death and I'm in Bali off a beach somewhere. And so don't tell anyone. Don't tell my wife I'm still alive, because she'll definitely.
I love that in Bali you also thought to bring the children's art wall with you.
I know. Very sweet of you.
I know. The people who are listening can't see, but my backdrop is all of my kids' artwork. And I thought it was actually a good way to save it, because isn't it funny that my wife will save literally like there was a old garbagey blanket. She's like, this was Hannah's blanket. She can't throw it out. Our garage is just full. It's like a museum. Like presidents have a library. My kids have the children's library of their entire life in the garage. My wife can't let anything go.
Jamie,
I understand.
Jamie, I've been waiting since the intro to bust your balls on this. But just so we're clear, your episode of Fanatics, they're like, definitely talk to us about something that you really love, something that you're obsessed with. And your pompous ass was like, I'm really into service.
I'm just like him.
I would be like, I'm really into Zelda Breath of the Wild. Jason would be like, I love Marvel. And your ass is like, I just really like helping other people.
Well, listen, I was at the week before, I was at an airport. I went up to Jamba Juice to order a Jamba Juice at an airport. And this kid, I guess, like maybe 18, 19 year old kid, didn't look up from their phone for a long time. And then I just stood there in shock, I'm standing here. And then finally the kid looked up and said, yeah, what do you want? And I was like, wow, things have changed. And so, yes.
You mean that kind of service. I'm sorry.
Wait, what kind of service did you think?
And they put you at a crappy table by the bathroom and then have terrible service. Aren't you kind of pissed about it?
I forget there's a lot of me. There could be cell phone service. There could be restaurant. I was thinking of community service. I was like, no. Jamie's out there talking about, I just love to give back. That's what I'm obsessed with. That's why I want to
please tell me that there is at least footage of Jamie walking down picking up litter with the orange vest on.
But he volunteers at his school all the time, so it tracks.
That's true. Yeah, he does.
That's why I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe he
Kate, yeah. That's because it's mandatory to volunteer at school.
Oh, she outed
him. Wow.
You have to do 20 hours, and I did a lot.
No, 40.
Well, 20 at the festival and 20 at the other thing, but yeah, but I ended up doing way more hours than that. But yes, I'm at my kid's school. Listen, Claire, do you want to defend me on the service thing?
It was actually, it's a great episode. You guys will hear it because we're going to drop it in this feed as well. As this podcast being dropped in the Fanatics feed. So you'll hear both episodes. But Jamie, yeah, he talks, and it makes a lot of sense. He talks about, like, you grew up, I don't want to say grew up, but you started in the service industry yourself. Like, you've talked often on this show about the bar you worked at, and you know, you really enjoy giving good service as well as receiving good service. So it's not totally just, you know, one-sided. It's a secular thing, you know, it's the yin and the yang. You can be the receiver or the giver, and this is going to a very sexual place. Which I know, I was like, wow,
is that what Jamie called all those girls he picked up at the bar?
I like to give good service, but I also really love to get good service.
I'm sure you do.
I guess I'm gonna tell you, and it's funny because we're raising our kids into this world, and I every day with my kids, please, thank you, please. Would you say please? Mm-hmm. Would you say thank you? And it's starting to take hold, but there is a sense of entitlement that I think this generation has that we didn't have. My kid does something once and I go, she goes, like, I'm great in the pool. And she tried out for the swim team. And she's never taken a swim lesson. She is great in the pool, fast, can move, unbelievable, like a dolphin, but doesn't know the actual stroke. So she goes for swim tryouts, and the coach is like, well, you can't do swim. You'll be disqualified. You don't know any strokes. And she was really upset. She was like in tears, and she's like, but I'm a really good swimmer. I go, but you don't know the stroke. No one has ever shown you the stroke. It's not your fault. You need a couple mm-hmm. lessons, and then you can do swim team. But she was like, why can't I just – it's like that's this generation. And mm-hmm. so you walk to a place like a little place where you order at the counter and you get food to go. And they're kind of jerks to you, like, yeah, whatever, take the, yeah, oh, you want ketchup? Ugh. And then they flip the screen, and the screen is like, how much would you like to tip? Nothing I would like to tip because you have given me terrible service. So I don't know. I'm turning into the old guy.
We cover, you know, it wasn't that moment. Maybe you sound, you know, a little, you know, grumpy or whatever, but the the whole episode is great. So definitely take a listen. I'm curious, Jason, what, you know, Jamie said Marvel. What is something like you're obsessed with? Oh, what are you fanatical?
Paranormal is my whole world. Like, I mean, that's where I came from. I just think the world of the unexplained is absolutely fascinating. You know, none of us know where we go when we die. So it's kind of a something we all have in common, something we're all going to get, except for Jamie, who will probably live forever.
I'm a Highlander. Did you not know that? It'll all be over in the quickening, but unless I'm the only one standing, and then there can only be one.
But so, yeah, definitely for me, the paranormal is kind of like one of my favorite things.
That's true. We had shows on TV. That's how we met. I ended up hosting a Haunted Live episode for Discovery Channel, and one of our mutual friends, Jason, had done a bunch of paranormal shows, and so I got to kind of look into that world, which I didn't even know existed. And I think mm-hmm. that's what's cool about Fanatics, Claire, is that I think people who listen to the episodes are kind of brought into worlds like the paranormal world that
yes.
you know.
We definitely have to have you on the show, Jason, because that is like super interesting to me. And by the way, sometimes when I think of paranormal, I think of UFO, but they're actually two, like, obviously completely separate things. But somehow
they're all kind of under that umbrella. But I mean, like, there's ghosts, there's Bigfoot, there's vampires. I mean, there's a whole, you know, world of all this crazy stuff that I spent almost two decades looking for.
What is the craziest paranormal story? Have you experienced, actually, maybe we should like skew this to Parrot Lounge. So have you experienced anything paranormal with your children?
He thinks that his one son is the devil. I don't know if that counts.
With the Dark Lord. We call him the Dark Lord for a reason, Claire. It's because
yeah.
there. He, my wife must, I think, dabbled in some sort of witchcraft and summoned it into the soul during the pregnancy. I can't verify that, but it's what I think. No, we had an incident here where I was helping my good friends, the Newkirks, with a 3D scanning of their, they have a haunted museum where they collect reportedly haunted objects. And they wanted to do a thing where we would scan the items. And with a 3D scanner, which I have, and we were making copies of them to see if the spawn, the 3D printed spawn would take on any of the haunted traits of the parent objects. And we had one that I brought into the house. I made a joke about, I was like, I almost made a joke about making a sacrifice to this deity with one of my kids. And I didn't realize that the object was in the room and that they, you know, they take things very literally, supposedly. And that night, my son had gone to stay with our in-laws and we were watching a movie and we heard this running around upstairs. And I was like, wow, the cat is really, oh, the cat is right here. And I'm like, oh, both dogs accounted for. And my wife looks over at me and she's like, Did you hear that? What was that? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, well, go look. And I started to get up and I walked and from above me in the middle of our living room, water started pouring on me. And I was like, there's no water main above where I'm standing. And I walked out into the kitchen and there were puddles of water all over the kitchen floor. So I followed them. They were to our door. I'm like, these are footprints. So I called the Newkirks because they're like my go-to. They're my Giles.
Right.
So I'm like, this is what's going on. And I FaceTimed them and they're like, and so they're like, we'll follow them, see where they go. So I went to the door. It had snowed, but there were no tracks leading up to our house. But there were wet footprints. And they're like, you know, you made that joke about sacrificing your son. Have you checked on him? I'm like, well, he's not here. And they're like, did you check his room? I'm like, no. So I take the phone and I'm following and we go up the stairs and the water footprints go up the stairs and they go right to my son's nursery. The door is open and the light is on. He is not there. As I said, we didn't leave it on. And directly in front of where his crib was a giant puddle of water where he like where it was standing, like almost like it was looking for him.
And that's what was dripping on you from below?
No, because that's a separate part of the house. It's farther back in. That would have been above where the footprints in the kitchen would be. So I'm like, I might have done something here. And I might have said too much. So a few nights later, Jace is home. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, all of our Alexas in the house say, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now. And our lights start flashing on and off. I hear bloody scream, like my son screaming bloody murder up in his nursery. I haul ass up the stairs. He is red-faced screaming. He points, because he's like 2.5 at this point. He points across the room and I turn. And you guys have ever seen the movie The Ring? Mm-hmm. Like this woman who is like drenched and wet is standing in the middle of like standing in the corner and she disappears when I get to the room. I grab the kid and rush out. And my wife at that point said, okay, you're done dealing with this stuff. No more. And I was officially retired from the paranormal at that point.
But you still live in the house.
Well, we had, I used to travel and I was trained by George Lutz, who the Amityville Horror was based on. And so he taught me how to do a cleansing. So we did a cleansing of the house and that was, and we never had a problem again.
Okay.
By the way, I just want to say that this is our crossover episode of the parent normal. It feels like.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people are like, wait, is this a parenting show or is this a paranormal show?
Okay. So many questions. But my first question, Jason, is, why do some people have these experiences? And like, I've never had any experience at all.
Same.
It was always
like no soul, Claire. You and I have no soul.
Same. Right. Wait,
we're empty vessels.
We're saying 3 out of 4 of us have never experienced anything like that.
Well, I think it's a matter of, number one, opening yourself up to it.
Great.
So I've done probably several hundred. I've done several hundred investigations. Of all the investigations I've done, probably 15 to 20 of them have had things happen. So out of 20 years, I've had 15 to 20 things happen. It's not as common as, I mean, you see the TV shows basically, and obviously a lot of them are done for entertainment purposes. They ramp things up. But I think true actual paranormal events are spaced out. They don't happen all the time. And I think you have to really go look for them before they happen to you, or you stumble across them completely on accident. George Lutz used to say to me that when you open yourself up to it and you open yourself up to that world, you become like a lighthouse and a beacon. And when they can see that light, they come to you. That's how it was explained to me.
Mm-hmm. And what about the fact that kids, a lot of people, I've heard at least the hypothesis that kids are more open because they don't have the social conditioning, the thoughts, like, is this true? Are children also like a conduit to the paranormal?
I think so. I think that, you know, like you'd be something that they see, they take at face value, whereas we're conditioned to dismiss it as a naturally occurring phenomenon, whereas they still see it from a... They take it at face value, always.
Well, they're not jaded. That is the kind of, and it's funny because once you have kids, it kind of brings back that wonder. Because remember how Christmas all of a sudden was like, you get to a certain age and Christmas is like about Christmas parties. It's not really about the president or the presents and Santa Claus. And then
it's
all of a sudden,
definitely not about the president. Never about the president.
couldn't just let it ride, could you, Mulligan? You were like, oh, I got him.
I got him. I didn't get him on service, but I got him on president.
Which kids do as well. It's funny too, because kids have such honesty to them that all of a sudden all these things that had become, we'd kind of been jaded to at a certain point in life, are reopened. Like, you know, going to Disney mm-hmm. and stuff, with kid, when you see it through a kid's eyes, then all of a sudden
right.
it finds its innocence again.
But yeah, I think that that's true. I think that once you... If you open yourself back up to that world, I think that, you know, you have a much better chance of having something happen.
Yeah.
Also, you kind of have to hang out in those spaces. Like, you're very rarely going to find something happening at, like, the In-N-Out Burger.
But why not? It just seems to me like if ghosts are people that had been here and are no longer here, then there should be so many that there's no room for them to just be in haunted houses. They have to be everywhere. This is where my disbelief begins.
They spaces us, Kate. So they could still be in the line. They just don't talk.
Well, that's why you're not a fan, Kate. And that's why he is.
I'm not. Yeah. That's why I'm not a fan addict.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, that's the whole purpose of this crossover episode. And it's kind of cool that everybody talks about what they're fans of, right? And that's what I loved about doing that show was like something that, and if you listen to every episode of Fanatics, somebody, who is it, Tony Hale of malls? Or
indoor
something?
Malls. Yes, indoor not just malls.
And it's really kind of cool.
The process is also like, sometimes people will be like, oh, I like, you know, Legos or whatever, you know? And then it's like, well, what do you, you know, we kind of like work with their PR team or whatever, or them to hone in on like exactly right. what it is, you know? So it's not just a general like, really like, you know, movies. What kind of movies, you know?
That's part of the problem with having kids is it's like all of a sudden it's your new obsession. Oh, I have kids. But then it's like it's a hobby you can't really get rid of. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, I tried the kids thing. It didn't work for me. Didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would. And I'm just going to let it can. That's it. You're like it's like a hobby you sign up for that you cannot. It's a club. It's like those old Columbia Records book clubs where you signed up and you started getting records every month. And then
you still owe them like $40.
Yeah, I think I owe them some money too. I still get records all.
Okay, so just so if anybody was wondering, Jamie Kaler is the oldest of all of us.
As I said the word record, I go, here comes Mulligan to torment me.
You set me up. I knock him down, baby. It's a good.
Is that what you're addicted to? Is that your thing?
That's what I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of roasting Kaler.
She's like a sniper. And they were 78s, by the way. And I'd have to crank the thing and it had the big megaphone on top of it.
Darling, will you wield Victrola over here?
Well, the first one was Al Jolson actually singing Mammy. And it was pretty great, I remember.
So yeah, you talk about like service, but you got me thinking, Jamie, with the swim team story. Like I remember growing up, and I don't know if you guys had to do this, but you know, we had obviously one phone. It was before cell phones. So we had one phone in the house. And when I answered it, because my dad ran his business out of the house, even though he had actually he had a separate business line for his office, which was on the top floor of our house. But we had to answer the phone like Kramer residence, Claire speaking. And then the party would say, oh, yes, this is Dee calling for Sandy. And I'd be like, just a moment, please. Like everything scripted, formal. There was no like, hi, hey, what's up? You know, kids with cell phones now, they'll never know what it's like to have that like formality, you know,
they don't even answer it. They just wait for the text.
Right. Yeah. My daughter is so lazy. She doesn't even text. She voice dictates her texts. It's like the ultimate, circumvent.
My buddy doesn't even voice to text. He just voices it. That he texts right? you a voice. And yes. So all of a sudden I go to open it. I'm in a public space. He's got a 2-minute message where
you have to lift it to,
talk to one of our regulars who's on the show all the time, and I go, dude, stop that. It's so
I know annoying. Who you're talking about.
Yeah, he does. We're like, dude, he doesn't even voice a text because then he would have to edit. He literally just says the words and then you can't hear it. You're like, wait, what is he saying? It's so hey, back in the day, you'd answer the phone, it's your dime, but yeah, nobody does that. Listen, nowadays, also, there's no cuts like. Do you remember trying out for stuff and they were like, in our play, like our kids did a play at school. They just put 200 kids in the play.
Right.
Just the chorus, like 150 people. Instead of going, no, you can't act. Uh-uh. You're not doing. I remember getting cut from stuff and like tears.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, you're good enough. And you're like, go practice totally. And get better or don't do this. I don't know what to tell you.
Story of my life.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And what's funny, Claire, is you're down in San Diego right now with your daughter, who is nationally ranked insane dancer.
Yes, I am here with her.
That's the problem is once if your kids are really good athletes, all of a sudden you have a full-time job.
That's what you become a fanatic of.
Yeah, I'm a fanatic of my kids. But yeah, no, it's let me tell you though, Jamie, they don't have a problem cutting people in this world.
Oh no.
I mean,
once you get to that level of like club and national teams. Yeah, of course.
Is she still in the competition, Claire?
Oh yeah, yeah. We're at net for people who follow dance, or if you don't follow dance, you want to look it up. We're at National Dance Honors, which is there's two this year, one in San Diego, one in Texas, I think Austin. So River was up for honor dancer. She's an honor dancer nominee, which means we had to come extra early down to this competition. And she's basically been like, it went till midnight last night and she had to be downstairs at 7 a.m. So 6 days of like.
Tell everyone how old this young lady is.
She just turned 12.
She's 12 years old.
She's 12. So, you know.
I'm 44 and I don't work that hard.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. So, like, today actually is a shorter day. She had to be down there at 7, and I think she's done at 6 p.m. And then it's, you know, today's day 3 of 6. So it's just crazy. But she had an experience. She competed 2 solos, one for the National Dance Honor title, and one just in the solo, just division for juniors. And in the solo division for juniors, she got a platinum award instead of like the ultimate platinum, which is what she likes to get. And she threw her award away. It's not up to my standard. And she threw it away. And I tried to go backstage and find it because I was like, I won it. That's my award too.
Yeah. You know,
but I couldn't find it. So it's tough. It's tough for the girls and boys. There are boys in the competition as well.
Well, as a parent too, you're putting yourself up in a hotel for a week, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you had a job, you couldn't work for this week. You're with a 12-year-old. You can't just send a 12-year-old on her own.
Like, no.
Such a crazy nationally traveling thing that honestly, I used to be bummed. I was like, oh, my kids aren't really into soccer. And all of a sudden I talked to a guy. He's like, just to join the club is 12 grand. Then you have to buy their kit. Then you travel every weekend to Bakersfield, Barstow, San Diego, Santa Barbara, San Francisco. And you have to put yourself up in a hotel, travel. You're mm-hmm. like, I'm actually keeping my kids back. My kids like, hey, can we go kick the ball around in the backyard? I'm like, no.
No, no,
don't touch that ball.
Yeah,
I don't want you good at
it's true with the boys. Now, here's the thing about soccer, because I do have two also, you know, soccer players, and I'm going to be in Orlando for a week while Hart plays in the futsal, which is like the indoor court soccer that's coming up, while he plays in the national and world futsal tournament. And yeah, it's 10 days there. But there, here's the issue. Since this competition was in San Diego, I traveled down here with my microwave. We'll have a travel microwave with an espresso machine, with our juice blender. We have a mini fridge. So I have like a full setup in the room to be able to cook a little bit. You know what I mean? And by the way,
on you or anything, but I do believe, I'm surprised Mulligan didn't jump at this, but I believe all microwaves are travel microwaves. I think if you just take, if you go and the microwave goes with you, thereby,
yeah,
it's a well, travel microwave at that. I think they're all travel microwaves.
Jamie, just so you know, I'm only fanatical about roasting you. I actually did not.
Did you ever do the podcast?
Occasionally, she dips her toes into roasting me, but most of the time, it's
really like, what is your true passion in life? Honestly, roasting Jamie Kaler.
Just Jamie Kaler.
Kate, you have to come on and do that episode. That is like done. Done and done.
Do I just come in the room so she can just look at me and start?
Yeah. I think like you just you either provide photos or or you can appear live for the roasting.
Oh my God, yes.
Well, Mulligan,
what's your thing?
What's your jam, Mulligan, besides torturing people?
The Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah.
We just did an episode about the Nintendo Switch.
Oh my God, I love every game, specifically Zelda Breath of the Wild. I didn't have video game systems growing up, and when it looked like we were going to be in our homes for 2 weeks in 2020, I did one of two smart things I did the entire pandemic, and the only two smart things, which was the week before the lockdown, I went and bought a Nintendo Switch, and then they were not available for purchase for a long time after that. But so I got us a Nintendo Switch because what I wanted to do was keep up. My kids were in preschool at the time, and they had dance class every Wednesday. So I knew I was going to be doing 2 weeks of teaching the kids. And so I was like, okay, so I'm going to keep Wednesday dance class. And I got the game Just Dance on the Nintendo Switch. And that's how we did dance class. It wasn't just 2 weeks.
No. And
we started buying a lot more games than just dance. Yeah, but yeah,
that's how the heroin dealer works. They give you that first shot and go, hey, you can use this for exercise. And, you know, you'll get some dance out of it. And all of a sudden, you're addicted to Zelda. And then,
listen, are you kidding me?
In case defense.
Yeah. Listen, if I could inject Zelda in between my toes in a vein that's still working, I would do it. You know what I mean? Like, I am full on heroin addict.
No,
I'll find any vein.
For parent of the year, Kate.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, my kids don't even really play. But yeah, I just love that game. But I don't know. I mean, the thing that is very interesting about being a parent, though, is that like very rarely do we get to have our own things. Like, Claire, I can't believe the amount of time that you're spending on your kids' things.
Yeah, that's
like honestly, you don't get to have a thing.
I hope they appreciate it, or are they like, Mom, don't come downstairs. Mom, don't do this. And you're like, hey, buddy, I just gave up a week of my life to do this with you.
You know, both. They do appreciate it, but I think when they become like all of us, I think this is probably a common thread for most people who are parents. You don't really appreciate what your parents did until you're a parent, because you don't understand that sacrifice. You know what I mean? You don't understand the totality of what you need to give to raise a contributing member of society, you know?
Jace thinks I'm a walking ATM. Like, he just thinks that you can just, you know, it will just spend cash whenever he asks for it.
Is that true? Can you? Will you do that?
I kind of blame my wife for that, though, because my wife, they would destroy something or wreck it, and then my wife would just go, well, I'll buy you a new one. They go, yeah, that sounds great. And I'd be like, oh, that's not the right answer, Chief. Take care of your stuff. We're not buying you another one. I don't have to tell you. So
I will tell you, I do feel like, Claire, this is where you really shine. I feel like I've gotten a lot of great parenting ideas from you. Like when you talk about like the job board, like forget chores. There's just, they should just make their beds. They should just do what you like. But I will post a job board that they can they can.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's a game changer.
Well, they want that cashish.
Kate, yeah. What jobs did you start on the board? Because I put one together that's like paint the house. Re-roof house.
There's an idea.
And Claire, my seven-year-old, building an addition out by the pool.
And Hannah's waiting in line for the permit. Hannah's at the permit office.
Hannah's digging out I wanted a bigger pool, so she's digging out the one end of the pool. It's hard work for an eight-year-old. I'm not going to lie to you.
I went a different route with the job board. I said to my boys they could sort the laundry. You know, like when the laundry comes out of the dryer, everybody's clothes are all in it. And I was like, I'll give you 50 cents if you go through this pile and pick the clothes that are yours and put them in your pile. So, and then Neil at some point was like, 50 cents isn't enough. I'm like, it's all, then you don't have to do it. Then you don't get the money. But I mean, like I started with little stuff. I've got a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. So next year they can pull permits and dig a hole.
Right.
I always change the offer. If I go, I'll give you 50 cents and they go, how about a dollar? I go, now it's a quarter.
Yeah.
And they go again. I go, now it's 10 cents. Do you want to go for zero? Like, and then I just go, I blackmail. I go, fold the laundry or no TV, no iPad. That's it. That's the greatest thing about the iPad is that it is the best bargaining chip of all. To go, like, you're not going to.
Yeah, but it's a punishment to you if they can't be on. I'm very careful about, like, they only get a certain amount of time a day, and that is my time. So I very rarely, very rarely leverage that against them because I want that quiet time. Like, my boys right now, we're on vacation. They're down at the beach. At some point, they're going to come back to this house. And at that point, it's going to be my quiet time.
They will return.
They will return.
Sometimes I just send them to the room. I just go clean your room and don't come out.
My quiet time is twin nap time. It's the greatest. You've caught me. Like, there are times in the day, like when it's twin nap time, it's the happiest part of my day.
I do remember. I mean, you ladies remember the nap time because that was like in the middle of the day, you're like, oh.
Although Claire had 4 kids, you probably never, with the exception of the first, you probably always had one awake.
Well, gas prices weren't what they were back when mine were all young. So we used to strap them all in the car and just drive around for hours, like just drive. And that was like the time where we got our own time and the kids were asleep, you know? Mm.
But what did you get your own time?
What's your own time?
I know. Thank you, Jay. Okay, sorry. I'm now becoming fanatical about roasting Claire too. I'm sorry, Claire. Wait, how is driving your own time? I want to.
They're quiet.
Just because they're quiet. Oh, okay.
And sleeping. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I had a friend whose kid wouldn't nap unless he put him in the car and drove him around and then tried seamlessly to get him into the house. I go, that's.
Don't attempt the transfer.
Don't transfer.
I've gone the opposite way. When you're coming home and it's like 6:30 at night and they're starting to nod off in the car and you're like, get up, wake up.
Stay awake.
I would clap. I would pinch them. I would pinch them. And the kid would be like, oh. And they go, stay awake till we get home. Because if they fall asleep for that 20-minute nap on the drive home,
you're done.
They're up for the rest of the night. You're like, no, you're not going to sleep. And the kid's like trying to fall asleep. And I'm reaching back, like pulling them up, trying to keep them away. Yeah, no way.
Yeah. No, Hart will always fall asleep on the way to soccer. So if it's a shorter distance, you know, I'll do the same thing. I'm like, don't go to sleep, buddy. Don't go to sleep. You're going to be... Got to get out of the car in a minute.
I started doing this new thing where, well, it's not even a new thing, but like it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I got up to go to the bathroom and I heard him from his crib singing my name really creepy, just repeatedly, daddy, daddy. And I was like, that is awful.
Yeah.
That's the paranormal.
That's the paranormal there.
My wife did a lot of crack.
My kids are bright redheads, and sometimes I'll just find them out in a cornfield with their friend Malachi, and the whole thing really starts to go south, and it's honestly terrifying. Terrifying.
God, that reminds me of a story I heard once. Well, probably nothing. Anyway.
No. If it's not, it should be. It should be a novel and maybe a movie.
His
children...
Like
in the corn.
Yeah.
And then they kill everyone. No, I feel like is how the story goes.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, were there any I don't know if any of you have kids with like babies now, but I am very jealous of people with babies now. It's been 4 years since I had a baby because of the products they have. The Snoo.
Oh,
y'all know about the Snoo?
I don't know about that. Sexual. What is that?
The Snoo. So the guy, Harvey Weinstein. No, it was Harvey.
The happiest baby on the block. And that happiest toddler on. Carp.
Harvey Carp. Thank you. So it was that guy who, like, there's the three S's for sleep. It's like shushing, swaying.
That was five. That was the five.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Swaddling. Swaddling.
Sucking. And sucking.
Yes. Yeah. So basically the Snoo.
Shut up. Is that one?
Shut up. Stop. Shut up.
No.
But the Snoo is this $1,200 bassinet that responds to the baby's cry. And basically you put them, you swaddle them into the bassinet and it rocks them if they start to cry and it shushes them. it's like white noise. I gotta tell you, that is something I really would have loved to.
Well, we just put the bassinet on top of the washing machine. Similar.
You very similar. Yeah.
That's genius, by the way. Until it shimmies it off the edge.
And then exactly.
Velcro, Kaler, Velcro.
Hey, let me ask you, Kate, does that machine also have a little plug where you can plug into the child and use their energy like a D-cell battery? Because it feels very Matrix-y, where it's like, just put the kid in and take him out when he's eight. And and you can power
and we're good.
Charge your car with that thing.
Your
travel microwave if you have one.
Joke's on you, we're in the Matrix.
Okay? I feel like
it. Right.
So,
you know, there's actually studies out there that say that there's like a 50% chance we're living in AI. Yeah.
I feel like I would be better looking if that were true.
Yeah, wait a minute. Why do I have a kangaroo pouch from where my babies used to live?
I think she's right.
This is exactly how I planned it out. This feels very right.
So is this like the prison AI? Like I was punished here for some reason?
Well, not AI, an alternate reality.
Oh,
so
that's probably true.
Yeah.
50% chance?
Yeah, like 50%. Well, I'll put it on our Twitter.
It's like Vanilla Sky, where you live in eternity in that world. So I could. What you're saying is you're giving me permission to just walk away from my kids and go, they don't exist. And I can just go get a beach place down in San Diego. Is that what you're saying? Because that's what I'm going to tell the police.
That is not what I'm saying.
I feel like you're saying that.
Kate, you know the product that I'm jealous of, you know, because now Sky is eight, so I'm way past baby face.
Yeah.
You know, they have my friend who has a baby has this thing, and it's like a fanny pack, okay? Except the fanny pack extends to a seat. And so the baby sits on your hip but they're actually sitting on like the little seat that's a purse also.
You attach a seat to yourself and then you don't break your hip.
And they wonder why women are so like, you know.
Oh, I mean.
I mean, God, we have to walk around with seats for babies on our bodies.
Well, I think it also has a mechanism where it just lays a flat board on your back and then you get on all fours and you can be a table as well. Or is that a different product?
I kind of feel like that's my life without even the board. Yeah.
There's also the things now. Claire, I feel like you nurse, but like there's the thing, like there's like the milk catchers that you can wear now. Like you can you can pump inside, like you could just pump while I could just be standing like looking at you and I could be pumping.
I've been doing this the whole time.
I had Rivers talk about, you know, we talked about River. She's 12 now. She would not take a bottle.
That's a bummer.
Wouldn't take a bottle.
Yeah.
And so I was like attached to her for a year. You know what I mean? Like same place.
Ooh.
Those days were crazy. I remember I had a pump that I kept at work, a pump that I kept at home, and then I had like a travel emergency hand pump that I kept in my purse.
Yeah. God, I don't miss any of that. I don't miss that, but also, would have been Oh, for the audio listeners, the three of us have gotten bigger, and my head is triple the size of Clarence.
Well, it's because Jason is watching his children, and he just messaged me. He goes, "Hey, my kids are screaming. I gotta run." So he ran to take care of his kids, and he's gonna come back.
That is what the Parent Lounge is about. You know, yeah. We're open to all.
A little backstory. So we have crazy guests every week. We've had Larry the Cable Guy, Jeff Foxworthy, Richard Marx, Joel McHale, tons of actors, Miles Gibrani. And basically, it has turned into this amazing place. Like, we started it in the pandemic, and it really kind of saved my mind, I know. Mm-hmm. I was originally doing this thing where it was just a bunch of parents, a bunch of dads in the Dadlands, and we had this vent session, and every Thursday we would just do this private Zoom with like 30 guys, and everybody would tell their horror stories. And by the end, we all felt really good about it. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we're all in this together. And it kind of expanded. And then Jason and I did this, and then we need moms because we're idiots. And so luckily we found these guys. And then it's crazy Tuesday Night Live thing where we've even let like just regular fans in, and, it's super fun because the fans get to comment along, which makes me feel so high. We have such a hardcore group of fans who comment along that it's this running commentary over the insane stories and comedy bits that we end up telling. Yeah, Celia Behar has been coming in, and I don't know. It's been this crazy thing. So it's kind of really
basically, fun. Yeah. Basically, what Jamie is saying is I'm the least funny person on the show. Everybody else is a professional comedian.
Well, aren't a comedian, but that's the beauty of the show. We've had legit guests. We had that one author who came in, and it's not always about being funny. We can make it funny, but it's really a part for people to kind of go, because here's the thing about parenting. When it happens to you, you think you're the only one that's going through that certain event. And then all of a sudden you talk to a bunch of other parents and you go, dude, that's everybody. Everybody. Mm-hmm. And then it makes you feel better about it and go,
yep.
Jason does think his kid is haunted. He's not joking about that. But then you talk to other parents and like, you know, Jason's kid is haunted. And
Parents agree. Jason's kid. Yeah. Yes. Right. Other parents, like everyone concurs. Jason's kid is haunted.
Taylor met him. There's a darkness there, isn't there?
I mean, I've done two full albums about raising kids, Happy Father Days and Homeschooled. And it's all just people like those stories didn't happen. I go, every single one of those, my kid with the swearing or my kid with the diapers or Claire wouldn't sleep in her bed because she thought it was filled with spiders. Like they're all just real stories that happened. And it's been really fun to then hear from all the other parents who come in and share their stories. So it's been kind of a cool.
Well, and by the way, when he is saying Claire, he doesn't mean me. He means his daughter, Claire.
Daughter Claire, yeah.
Although you
didn't have Jamie deal with the spiders in your bed?
Right? No, I didn't.
Also, when he says Kate, he's not referring to
good
me.
Idea.
He's referring to his wife. I am not married.
Yeah. Oh, I love the image of Jamie carrying this Claire down their hallway and hitting her head on the spider.
I'm afraid of spiders. Jamie has a lot of crossovers. Yes.
Yeah. So we're really thankful that we got to do this podcast and crossover. It's funny because we did this kind of in a bubble, so our regular fans are not commenting along. We will eventually play this for our fans on our pages down the road, but for now, this is going to live with the Fanatics page. And so if you guys are parents, then come find us live so you can comment along and share your parenting stories with us as well. Everybody else?
I love hearing from everybody.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Tell for people who don't know where to find the Parent Lounge, tell us where to find it, or tell them where to find it. I know where to find it. You guys...
Jason is the
Hunt
man.
Me down
you
every week.
The details, brother.
Sure, you can find Jason. Us live every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific at facebook.com/theparentslounge, youtube.com/JamieKaler. You can find it on Jamie Kaler's Twitter, and you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, just Google the Parents Lounge and you'll find it that way. And also, we are expanding into the metaverse. We're going to have a room that Jason's built. He built a club that we're going to have a parental meeting hall and do comedic shows. Also,
currently right now, if you go into the Infiniverse, you can find a club that has posters with the four of us on it, and the episode with Dave Koechner currently airs in the metaverse right now, and you can sit and watch the episode along with other people.
Oh, how fun.
That is awesome.
And every Friday we check in with Jeff and Larry's Comedy Roundup on Sirius XM. So you can find us there as well. But yeah, I mean, it's honestly just about, it's just about parents feeling better about what they're going through. Cause not, it's like none of us knew what we were walking into when we said, yeah, sure, let's have kids. And then you feel like it's only happening to you. And honestly, Claire, four kids in grammar school, I think that is only happening to you.
That's currently, that yes, only.
Is only happening to me. That's right. But, you know, this has been a really important podcast for me to be a part of too, because it gives, I didn't realize how much I needed to like laugh and vent and share. And one of the great things is we sort of represent, and especially with our guests who often have kids that skew a little bit older than mine, we kind of represent all the ages, you know?
Right. Like Greg Grunberg, when he was on the show, his are a whale.
Yeah. His are like 17, 19, and like 22 or something like that. But yeah, so anyway, we're here. Parent Lounge is here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been an awesome crossover episode, and we are grateful that you gave it a listen. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at We Are Fanatics.
Yes, that's We Are Fanadicts. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Enhance your listening experience with Wondery Plus. Enjoy ad-free listening, exclusive content, binges, and more. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.